Well, it looks like a holiday weekend. How's that look about it in here? We're glad you're here. Be a little lonely. I can feel it, but we'll go on anyway. I'd like you to turn, if you have a Bible with you, if not, just watch the screen. I'm talking about light and darkness from a biblical perspective. 1 John chapter 1, not the Gospel of John, but the Epistle of John. John chapter 1, let me read it. There's verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, and we proclaim to you. Here it is, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Boy, what an option. Isn't that a great option? He said if we walk in the light, what it means to be a Christ follower is that that is a lifestyle, to walk in the light and to be turning from all forms of darkness, wherever we can, wherever it's necessary. So we can say, I'm walking. I can't be walking in lies. I can't be walking in deception. I can't be walking in, but think of it. Think of all the things that are the opposite of light. They're full of darkness. And the reason for it, while we must walk in the light, the reason is because God is light. That's the point the writer's making. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. You can never attribute darkness to the Lord. He walks in pure light. The Bible says that God lives in unapproachable light. The light is so intense, so brilliantly bright. And even in the book of Revelation, you remember the eyes of our Lord Jesus. It says those piercing eyes, and they just like bore into you, the eyes of the Lord, full of light, always full of light. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, our fellowship becomes really unusual because we're concerned about honesty. We discourage people from being in denial. Why do we do that? Because they're walking in deception. And many times we've had to go to one another, have we not, and said, I don't know how to tell you this, but you're really deceived over this. Wow. Why am I telling you? Because we must walk in the light and expose darkness wherever. That doesn't mean we go looking for other people's faults. You know, but that's not what it means at all. It simply means that in the midst of walking in this light, when there are times when we say, listen, you're in denial. It's not really true what's happening here in this situation or that situation. But the Bible presents something that I think that is interesting. It assumes something. That millions of people are trapped in eternal darkness and, sad to say, will not come to the light. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 3. And this is the judgment. This is the words of Jesus. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. Now, can you say, people choose darkness over light all the time? I've done some choosing myself, where I chose the dark rather than the light. People loved the darkness. Isn't that interesting? What a strong phrase. They loved the darkness rather than the light. And the reason for it, Jesus said, is because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. You know, I can remember, I think I've told you this story, but I met this couple. She was leaving him, and he couldn't seem to understand it, why she would be going. And this was her words. They still ricochet around in my brain. She said, I can't stay with you because you don't love the truth. You don't love the truth. You lie. And I had met him. Yeah, he perpetual lying, actually. Lied about this, lie about that, cover up with that, lie about this. Lie to his wife, lie to his boss. He said, you don't love the truth. See, the unique thing about walking in the light is that we say, Lord, I want to love the truth. I want to always be one who promotes the truth, not just the lies. Whoever does what is true, Jesus said, comes to the light. Isn't that great? So it might be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. In Psalm 36, verse 9, there's a verse that you've probably heard. I spent actually quite a bit of time. I couldn't think about this verse. I knew it, but I couldn't find it. You ever had a reading your Bible say, I think it's on the right-hand side up near the top. And you get it's not that. Well, it must be Romans 6 or something. Then you turn over that and find that you're just about ripping pages out because you know that verse is spoken. Well, this is one of those verses, Psalm 36, 9. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light. If you come to the Lord, one of the things that has to change if you're new in the Lord, or if you're new before, haven't come to the Lord yet, is that the more you look at God, the more you see light. And then you look back on your life and you say, it's kind of strange. I was in so much darkness that I didn't even know I was in darkness. I just stumbled. How many of you stumble your way through life, right? And just crashing into things and thinking that you're on the right track and thinking you've got the world by the tail and just realizing, oh man, what darkness there was in my life. What deception in my life. How I was deceived. And so Jesus presents this as millions of people being deceived and turning away from the light. Can you think of anything more horrendous that you walk out of here today and you choose darkness rather than light? You say, I don't care what that guy said, and I don't care what that book said. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And you turn to the darkness. How sobering, isn't it? How sobering is that? No man is condemned. And this is the thing that I find great encouragement from it. That no man is condemned for anything he has done. Now, hang with me, because I'm going to give some clarity, hopefully, to this. You're not condemned for anything you've done. You are condemned for not coming out of the darkness once you knew. That's the difference. That's the change. Condemned for not coming out of the darkness. Once you see it, once you hear what God's word has to say to it, once I understand this is the commandments of the Lord, I have a choice to make. But I'm not condemned for being a sinner. Isn't that good news? That's what the cross is. That's what we're singing about. That's powerful. That's wonderful. It's not anything I've done. You can pile it on. When somebody says, well, I did this, and I'm really ashamed of that, and I was involved in this, and that perversion was going on in my life. I was living a double life, and all these things that were going on. And the Lord would just say, yes. And I say, anything else? Well, I think that's pretty well all I can think of. And the Lord says, well, that's fine. Now come out of it. There won't be another word about it. We just come out of it. It doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter how vile you might have been or how involved in darkness. It matters not. You're condemned for not coming out once you've been exposed to the light. And that is the difference. You know, when we tell people about Jesus, in some ways we shouldn't tell them. This is what I've been musing on. I shouldn't tell them because once that message is told, now you're responsible for coming to Christ. Once it's been told. So we're condemned for not coming out of the darkness, not for the fact that we got into it, but now to get out of it. John 3:18, for whoever believes in him is not condemned. Wow, that's so powerful. But whoever does not believe, Jesus said, is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He knew about it, but didn't believe it and wouldn't receive it, and thus has condemned himself, at least according to Scripture. Men and women are not condemned for being sinners, as I've stressed before. Not the bad things that they have done. Not if it's been a murder, that can be forgiven. Lying can be forgiven. Extortion can be forgiven. Kidnapping, abuse, abandonment. No matter how hideous that your involvement might have been, my involvement might have been, no matter how vile it might have been, I am not condemned until the light comes to me. And then if I will turn from it, of course, I can be forgiven instantly. But not condemned. But Jesus says to us, turn from these things. Turn from them. You have an opportunity. The light is shining on us. Turn now from all these things and do them no more. To do them, that's why there can be a kind of a cheap grace sometimes where a person says, well, I'd like to have a relationship with God. And maybe they even come forward or they stand here and they say, I've come to receive the Lord as my Savior. And we say, are you prepared to turn your life over to the one who is light? Oh, look, I just come up here for a prayer. Come towards it. Yeah, well, this is, we invite you to walk in the light with us. Your plans may have to adjust. And then someone, I've seen many times, well, that's not what that's not the deal I'm signing up for. In other words, I want to have some kind of maybe a quasi-relationship with God, but not anything that affects me and my lifestyle. So Jesus says, turn from all these things. Come out of your sin and don't do them anymore. And that's why in Nicodemus, remember, he's coming to Jesus at night. And Jesus talks to him about that. I think of Zacchaeus. I think of Nathanael. I could go through all the Bible and all of the people. There was a requirement to say, now you have to turn from all forms of darkness and walk in the light. Do them no more. So this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And we're going to be celebrating that in just a month or so about the nature of that light. That light has come into the world, and men would not come out of the darkness to the light. Strange as that may seem. But they loved darkness rather than light. And then he concludes, because this, their deeds were evil. And so they turned their backs on the in-breaking light. The light is breaking in. The light has come. It's breaking into our hearts. That life changed. Where before you did that, it's amazing how many people will say, you know, before I became a follower of Jesus, I had terrible language. I was just a terrible, filthy mouth. Just cursing and swearing. Just a way of living. You know, just one endless string of cursing. I tease Val because she's from Ireland that the Irish are called the cursing Irish. Fortunately, she came to know the Lord. Can you imagine if she hadn't? So, that's just an Irish thing. So, you could, but there's people like that. I know I can't even say what I would like to say right now, but some of the funny things that I've heard people said, that's an odd expression. How would you string words together like, it doesn't even make sense. You're cursing and swearing away, it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. But it's just how it is. And they said one of the first things to clear up was my language as I came to the light. They said I wasn't even conscious, I just realized that I had to walk away from that darkness. I said, cursing God all the time. And other times people would say, I didn't find it a problem to cheat. Cheating on this, cheating on that. And just didn't find it a problem until I came to the Lord. And then that light shines on that. So when we meet people and we proclaim to them the gospel message that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, once they hear it, they're now responsible to respond. See, Jesus says it doesn't matter what you've done, but now they have to come out. And I thought, what an interesting thing. That is how life works. That is the reality of, that is the truth about life. And so God gives every person time I believe that. Everybody who's here today and everybody that's not here and the people who will be here in the years ahead, everyone, God gives everybody time. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great verse? Let me read that again. God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Has shined in our hearts. It's kind of interesting how you will hear the gospel message. Perhaps you might have heard it on television. You might have heard it, maybe watched a Billy Graham special. You might have read a book somewhere. You went to some meeting somewhere. The point was you heard. It's interesting how gracious the Lord will be, that he gives people time. He gives people time to repent. He gives people time to turn from the light simply because you didn't know. And many of you could say, I just didn't know. And I could say the same. I don't remember us having a Bible in our home. I don't think maybe we did, but I don't remember it. I think the Gideons gave me a Bible. But I don't remember. We didn't go to church. We just didn't get there. We were in survival mode. We were in, you know, if Maslow's hierarchy of needs, what did he say? Basically, that you don't go to the opera when you've got a bone stuck in your throat. You know, you got to get that bone out of your throat first. And so we were we were not self-actualized in any way, shape, or form, not whatsoever, but just in survival mode because of the alcohol going on in our home. And so I heard about Jesus because everybody in Saskatchewan in those days would have known something about that Christian message, because most of them were kind of Christian, at least in name. And but I didn't know that you had to ask him to come into your heart. I didn't know that the Bible says you must be born again. I didn't know about that. I never heard that. It's funny how you could live in a place so saturated, Christmas and Easter messages, but not actually knowing. And when I was at this particular meeting, and the speaker said, are you here today and you need Jesus Christ to be your Savior? I didn't even, it's funny, I don't know how it eluded me. I had never heard of that Jesus, I didn't know Jesus was coming back again. There was so much, I just didn't know. And here's the rub. And God was so gracious. Time after time, after time after time, just different things happening. And God, he shone in my heart, and he gave me time to repent, as he does everybody. He shines the light of the gospel into our hearts. And how does he do that? Well, different things. There might be a Bible study that you're at. Somebody invites you to that, and all of a sudden you say, wow, I just didn't know anything like this, didn't know about it. And it might have been a church service, or it might be some kind of a gospel tract that somebody gave you, or it might be an Alpha Supper. It could be almost anything. And the Lord will give you one more time and one more time for you to turn from your darkness to him. He gives us this time. Will it be forever? No, it won't be forever. The day will come, which is as the ark, right? The door of the ark was shut, and then nobody else got to come in. And so it is with us. He's so patient. We're talking about a patient, patient God who waits, gives you another reason to believe, gives you a reason to turn from darkness. And he says, come out of it. Turn, turn. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to you. I am sure there are people who've been sitting in churches for years that it's time, it's time, but they haven't come yet. But the time is going to run out. So this patient, long-suffering God who puts up with your cursing and your, you know, and your drinking and your carousing, and he kind of allows it to be only because of his love and his care, because he knows that today is the day of salvation. We can't be sure of tomorrow, but we know today that you can come, whatever you have done, it doesn't matter what you've done, as long as you come out of it now. The call has come. I must come out of darkness. You must come out of darkness as well. So there is a light that lightens. I made a little note here. Sage and savage alike. Perhaps some have more light than the other. Perhaps the sage might know more. Perhaps the savage hasn't had a chance to hear more. There are nations why we're sending gospel workers and training up national workers so that everybody hears the gospel at least once. That's the great cry of missions. There are nations that have not heard the name of Jesus. They never, little children, they wouldn't be anywhere near any place to hear. And until that missionary comes, they probably will not hear anything about it. Go through their entire life and never hear it even as a swear word. You just don't. So some have more light. There are people that know, they have heard it. You think of Christian radio. Think of Christian TV. Think of all the, look at that Christian magazine. Page after page after page after page about Jesus, about God, about this is a meeting, be spirit-filled here, learn how to study the Bible here. There's endless amounts of it, endless. We have heard the gospel so many times. It's unbelievable how many times we have heard it. We probably look a little bored. Why? Because we've heard that message again. But so some have some light. They heard. They listened. Others, not so much. They perhaps have not. I call it the sages and savages. Perhaps some savages never heard. He's building a little altar to his God. He doesn't heard. And yet, perhaps somebody comes with a book. And they said, this is a message about him. It's a story of a God who made the world, sent his only begotten son into the world to die for you. And so first time he's ever heard it. And then you think of all the New Testaments that have been sent out with the idea that somehow, some way, somebody will get a hold of a New Testament and would read it and be transformed. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, that they'd read it. Because there's the Lord shining that light so that savage and sage alike would get to hear that message and come to the light. In some ways, if we didn't bring the light, I guess they wouldn't be responsible for it. But they're responsible once you hear it. And I'd heard it, and perhaps you were here today and you've heard it. You've heard the gospel message. The message is the same. We're to hate the evil thing, to leave it and come out. That's standard. But here's the rub. Here's the skinny on this. Really, the defining point. People hate, or people love, darkness. There are people that don't want to come. They don't want to come. It made it very clear. When we say, come out, no, I like it here. Is it possible to love your sin? Oh, sure. Some sins more than others. Love your sin. A lot. If I come to Christ, maybe I'd have to give up this. Yeah, perhaps you would. You have to attack to him. But if I come to Christ, I won't be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. I really like my sin. And I don't want to give that up. See, the condemnation falls on those who have heard but refused to come to him. And so Jesus says, you will not come to me that you might have life. The whole point was you could have life, but you have to give up your sin, whatever the nature or the stripe it would be. Each person, of course, is different. To follow the Lord is a serious thing. And if I come, you see, it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. To have a relationship with Jesus, to have life, it requires that I say, goodbye, world, goodbye. I'm now walking on a different pathway. I'm walking in the light as he is in the light. I'm walking in the light. You see, the Lord would say to all of us, I forgive you for everything. Imagine that. This is a great offer. You'll never hear an offer like this. God says, I forgive you for everything. Not a word more will be said against your sins. Only come out of them. Come out of them. Come to Jesus. Come to the light. And so all of us, I think this is true. I don't think I'm overstating it. All of us are moving either away from the Lord and the light or towards the Lord and the light. And this is, you let the Spirit of God hover on your own heart, on my own heart. Is there areas of darkness in me where there's deception, double standards, hidden things? See, it's a terrible thing, really, to go through life with a whole bag of secrets. Parts of my life that I can't ever let anybody see because it would be embarrassing to them and to me. And so I go through life with these sins and moving not towards the light, but moving away. Interesting enough, sometimes just before people come to Christ, there's this flurry of activity. I mean, the drinking gets crazy, and the rebellion gets crazy, and their life is just chaotic. And shortly after that, you hear about that person coming to know Christ and getting baptized. And I thought, sometimes just before the dawn, the darkest is the darkest. How many have that in your own life? You just say, boy, just before I came, you were flat out. Yeah, you were flat out doing your own thing. And so we're either moving away from the light or towards the light. And I, in my own heart, I can only speak for myself that you'd have to be crazy to walk away from the light because the darkness is horrendous. Is there anything to be full of darkness, to be lost and dark? Anything could be worse? I don't think so. And so we check our hearts and say, Lord, is there anything that's pulling me away from you, the light of the world? Is anything pulling me away? What direction am I? Am I moving ever closer to the light? Because the day is approaching. When it's nighttime, the writers talk about this a lot. It's at nighttime, but it's getting brighter and brighter till the full day of his coming. For the world, it's getting darker and darker and darker. You can see that. And just crazier. And say, boy, what's going wrong with... Even secular people say, what in the heck's going on with the world? Well, it's moving to its ultimate darkness. And people are coming out of it that they might experience the light and life of Jesus. How wonderful. And so, light is a lifestyle. John 8, verse 12. And Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the... What a wonderful verse. So beautiful. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. But will have the light of life. Oh, man. That gives me hope. It fills me that even when there's darkness around me, there can be light emanating from my heart. I can walk in the light as Jesus walked in the light. That's what he says to us. We'll not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, or verse 14. Now the writer Paul is just talking about generally about light and darkness. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawfulness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? It can't be mixed. There's got to be some purity of my heart that there's no fellowship between light and darkness. It just isn't. That's just how it is. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 to 11. For at one time, they didn't say you were in darkness. Now, if you looked at that, you were darkness. You might have been a nice person in darkness. You might have been a pleasant person in darkness. I know that I was probably a pleasant young man, completely in darkness. Because I know when I heard the message and saw the light coming to my heart. For one time you were darkness, but now you were light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. See, there's even the world expects us to walk a certain way, don't they? To walk a certain way. They have the world has high standards for us as Christians. So we walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. It's just a wonderful thing. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So, take no part of the unfruitful works of darkness. You know, even on television, it's funny how it kind of seduces you, but there's a lot of dark programs. Is there not? They're very dark. And I know that maybe they say, well, I just want to find out what vampires are all about. It's all about darkness. Right? It may be entertaining, but you're entertaining darkness. It's not the light. It has to be filmed a certain way. You know, notice how it's filmed a certain way so that you say, wow, it's kind of dark. Yeah, it's not just kind of dark, it is dark. And there are other things like that. You and I have seen, say, let's turn that off. You know, you didn't know what it was, right? You break into something, what TV program you're watching that. But then all of a sudden, I know one mother said, I said to her, how do you kind of govern what your kids are looking at and yet not being a fanatic, you know, and all that stuff? And she said, oh, it's very simple. When the eyes glow, she said, because it always is the same. It's kind of human, then and the eyes glow. She said, the TV goes off. Because now it's moved to a supernatural realm. In the old days, it was the witch tied behind the door in chains. She was human. There was no eyes glowing. Now, it's just, you know, and you go and shut that off. I thought, they're a very smart mother. And so the kids know, when the eyes glow, TV goes off. Because she doesn't want her child dabbling in darkness. Sometimes the children of the world are smarter than the children of the kingdom, unfortunately. But it's true. So take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. They didn't even tell us. They're unspeakable things. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Is it possible to have a lifestyle that's seductive, in the best sense of that word, that is inviting? I think so. I meet people, and you meet people, people I didn't know before, when I'm just talking to them, it seems that in their countenance, you know, isn't that your countenance? I think so, right? There's that spot there. That if they're full of light, you can see it. There's something about just even talking to them. There's a brightness. There's a lightness. You know what I'm talking about? And I'm marveling. I said, "Well, because it's the life of Jesus. It's the light of Jesus exuding from them. They had been in the presence of God. You could tell that. And now I'm not talking about one. I mean scores of people, hundreds of people that I've met over the years. As I first met them, not knowing anything about them, knew that they were walking people who walked in light. And I've also seen where the countenance, if it's dark, I'm not talking about skin color. I talk about the countenance. The eyes are dark. The feel about it is kind of dark. I have walked into situations. I've been in homes where I immediately began just to softly praise the Lord. Why? Because there was a sense of darkness in that home. And I didn't know whether I was going to shake off something as I was leaving. So I was in there on a mission to talk to that person. And I could say that this place, whatever has been going on in there, it was not light. It was dark. Did they know it? No. Nope. Not a clue. Not a single solitary clue. But I can't bet on it. But I do believe that if that relationship would continue, that I would know more about, that there would be some real darkness. I don't know whether they were into New Age things or occultic things, but I can assure you from what I experienced from that moment, it was like the Lord saying, there's darkness here. There's darkness in this place. It's not their fault. They're just caught up in it. They're just caught up in the world. But in those situations, sometimes you're the only person that they know in their world. And when you walk in, I mean, I've been in rooms. I walk in there, even the light, the room is dark. It's middle of the day, and the room is dark. Oh, let me get a light up, or let me pull the blind up. You know, light blind goes, it's still dark in there. I suspect you probably could have picked up 25 blinds, and it would have still been dark in there. So we come with the light. And I remember one person where I felt the home was something was going on there. I said, would you let me to pray? No, we're good. No, I said, I'd be glad to pray. No, we're fine. Thanks for the offer. They didn't want me to pray because they didn't. And it's not their fault in many ways. It's just because they just don't know. But they love the dark. They've been that way for a long time. And when you come to somebody's home and somebody's life, that light begins to rub off on people. It does. And so that, I could keep going there, but there's enough said about it. Simply to say that whatever is exposed to the light, when anything is done is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Wouldn't it be great if we were moving towards the Lord and little by little by little we were just shining more of who Jesus, becoming more who Jesus is. That your light is full of light. Your life is full of light in every way and shape and possibility. That your life is a blessing to people simply because the one who said, I am the light of the world, says now, you are lights in the world. I'm a bearer of light. I'm to bring it into every place I go, and you're to bring it every place you go. Together, the light. See, the very fact that they, over here, where am I? I'm really great at directions here. Over here at by Delaney's, and that service was on the other night, and about 80, maybe about 70 or 80 Nigerians were there, and a few of us. It was interesting, but my heart was rejoicing, because here these on fire, let's shout a little louder, a group of people. Let's dance till 3 in the morning. He apologized. He said, I'm sorry that the meeting was a little short. He said, we usually go till 3 in the morning for our monthly prayer night. Oh, 3 in the morning. I'm sorry I missed that. But I walked home thinking, this is wonderful. Here's another group of light bearers, right? Another building being occupied, and they're singing, He is Lord. And they're dancing and excited about why. Light is just boom, just exuding from there. And then you find out that there's a church downtown that's got a movie theater. And and we hear about that and say, oh, good, more light shining. The gospel is shining. The people are shining. Can you imagine? And that church starts over there and that over there. And this light comes in greater increasing amounts. Or it becomes in greater increasing darkness. One more church closing. One more this happening. That no longer operates anymore. And you can say, wow, what's happening spiritually? So even when we gather for prayer, we are praying that the light of the Lord will fill our city, right? And how it comes, it doesn't come by program, it doesn't come by religion of any kind. It comes by letting the Lord, turning aside from all that you know to be dark, and allowing Jesus to flow into you and through you and out of you, and to have an enjoyment of that, to say it's just fun being a light bearer for Christ. It's not a matter of trying. We're not trying to convert anybody, really. We just let the Lord. The Lord can do that. He's the one who waits patiently. He's the one that says, doesn't matter what you've done. Now just come out of it. Just come out of it now. So stand with me, if you would. I think our pianist is, Rex, maybe you'll come and just I'd like to, the privilege, if I might, of praying for you. Not that I don't need it as much, I need it as much as you do. But the world is increasingly on a path away from God, except for where the light of the Holy Spirit is bearing. And I would like to pray for you, that you would be overwhelmingly light in the Lord. Not by trying, you aren't doing anything different really in some ways, just saying, I'm yielding my life to God. Many times, the world's kind of a funny place. It wants what Jesus produces, but it doesn't really want Jesus. Have you noticed that? It likes the effects of the gospel, but not so much the gospel. And I take a lot of funerals, and I can tell sometimes that, well, can we keep, one family, part of the family say, can we keep it a little not so religious? I said, we were just going to sing a hymn. Yeah, do we have to do that? She wanted that. Oh, well, all right. Just a reluctance, even at a funeral, a reluctance to have anything that has to do with the light of the world. And so I always love it, the privilege to say, listen, at my funeral, give all four barrels. Don't mumble. Don't mumble. Proclaim. We're together. Here we are. It's fun hanging out together, isn't it? It's fun being together and all the things of Valley Church. But we're here on an assignment. We're here for Jesus to use us and to bring as many people as we could see coming to know him. And so I'd just be so honored to pray with you and over you as well. So, gracious Lord, thank you that you were so patient and long-suffering for us. You didn't wait for us to come to you. You came to us. You nudged us and you pushed us. You spoke to our hearts. And you want us. And we're so glad that we belong to you. Knowing you, Jesus, it's been the most fantastic thing. Lord, I pray that you would touch every single person here who's come this morning. Lord, I can only assume they've come because they love the light. And they wanted to be in the light here on this Sunday. Bless each one. Touch them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Overflow them, Lord. I pray, God, that their light will be dancing over them. That their smile, their handshake, their care for people, their genuineness. Oh, let it be known to all men. Lord, let our lives so shine that people say, those people are different, but we like it. They're the real thing. Lord, make us the real thing. That's what we want more than anything else. Lord, wherever there's darkness in us, we turn from that. Any vileness, any perversion, anything that's just not, shouldn't be part of us. You say, come out from it. Be separate from that. Get away from that. Lord, we hear your voice. And so will you draw us? Will you draw us to the light so we can walk in the light as you were in the light and have fellowship one with another because the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your Spirit, God. I love you. And again, we tell you that you are undoubtedly the best thing that's ever happened to us. And Lord, I want to be one of those people that love the light. Lord, cause us to be transparent so we can see right through us. There's no guile. Deliver us from guile. Thank you, Nathaniel. There was no guile in him. Make us Nathaniels. So here we are, Lord. We present ourselves to you. I pray that each one of us have a fantastic week, a great week. just living out the glorious message of Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you. And everybody said, praise the Lord. Whereas just as we close, if you have come and you need prayer this morning, I want you to come over here to this side. If you're here, it's just, if you're in need of prayer, just come here and we will pray with you before you go. If you have to go, please stop for a coffee. It'd be great to have you drinking coffee with us, so help yourself. And remember, folks, remember the rule, visitors first. That's the rule. We don't want anybody hurt in getting a cup of coffee, so please let the visitor come first. Thank you so much. Come, if you need prayer, please come to the front.